Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
We will immediately appeal to the Fifth Circuit.
On some of his trips up in the northern region, he has come across scouts.
It's undeniable energy, and that's what I'm responding to usually. Like, that's why I get sort of...
If I were the president, I would consider getting rid of General Crystal. No one left to
torture. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And this is where truth is our bitch, which means we go anywhere, even through the looking glass, to find that their truth. Coming up on the program later on, well, we got a bunch of things to cover here tonight. Lloyd Bonafide, a Korean War veteran, will discuss with us World War II video games. How do veterans view these things? How did he view it as he saw his grandson, a 9-year-old, playing one called Call to Duty? We'll be talking with Lloyd tonight. On the line with us is Bobby and Steve Dooley from Western Estates, California, as they discuss with us the story of John Metz, who I find very compelling. And he was doing a number of interviews today and will continue to do these interviews. People are getting a look at this young man and his fiancée. Her name is Melissa, very attractive couple. And what we've been talking about here really is this: is how do you talk about this to children? And Bobby and Steve both have said that they're talking about this very honestly, even to the point where, Bobby, you're saying, if the kids ask, "Well, would you stay with someone like that?" You say you tell them what they want to hear.
Well, really, yes. Bill. Children want to have their reality reaffirmed.
But do you think that's? Are you telling them the truth?
Well, when the children said to me, is that lady going to stay with him now that he just has now that he's only got one shirt sleeve filled out, you know, as my eldest said. And I said, well, what do you guys think? And they said, we think it's gross. And I said, it probably is. I know that if daddy lost his arm or leg, it would be weird to accidentally bump against the nub, is what I said.
You're talking to your children that way, huh?
Well, yeah, if you'd want to be honest about it, not that I'm ever going to have a nub.
Well, we said daddy's never going to really have a nub.
Okay, this is kind of, you're right. It's gross.
There it is. It is gross, isn't it? And I think, Phil, when we talk, you know, love is very important. Love is the most important thing in the world. And love can save so many people from so many things. Love really is what our world needs more than ever before. And to be able to have that love and also recognize that there are limits to it.
Yeah, because you're going to say about no leg.
That love is important. It's very important. But if someone has only one leg.
Well, so you're saying love is important, but do you have that much love?
I have a great deal of... I've been around, Phil. I've seen more than... I don't even want to scare you or your listeners with the things I've seen. So I've seen a lot, but I haven't seen so much that I'm able to deal with the reality of a husband with one leg and no arm, or one arm and one leg, or something like that.
Like in that Lon Chaney movie.
Yes.
What Lon Chaney movie?
Oh, you never saw The Unholy Three. Oh, it's a beautiful film about a man who falls in love with a girl who's afraid of being embraced. So he has his arms amputated, and she runs off with another guy anyway.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the love.
So love comes in a lot of different kinds of ways and a lot of different packages.
The Unholy Three with Lon Chaney. He falls in love with a girl who is afraid of being hugged.
Yeah, it's a very unusual film. Great script.
And so he has his arms amputated.
Yes.
And then she runs off with another guy anyway.
Yes, because she gets cured, and that's the tragedy, and that's also the beauty of the story. She's cured of this phobia, where she doesn't mind being hugged anymore. And there's Lon Chaney, and Steve and I were laughing. He looks sort of like the dumbass standing there with no arms.
Yeah, dumbass got... Right, the dumbass.
Dumbass? I mean, I would feel... the tragedy part of that is the more... gripping. That sounds bizarre. 877-876-PHIL.
No, but you have to see the film because it's very funny. At the end, there he is with no arms, and you're thinking, what a dumbass.
Yeah, but he went and got his arm blocked off. dumbass.
Well, that's a tragedy, though. I mean, the guy's got no arms because he decided to have his arms amputated because the girl's afraid of hugs. That's the most. That's the weirdest story I've ever heard in my life. Who's in that?
Lon Chaney.
Yeah, one of the movies that they don't say nobody gets to talk.
Nobody gets to. You mean a silent film?
Yes, a silent movie. I think it's done in like the late 19 teens of the
19 teens.
877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Henry Show. We're talking here with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Amy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, hi, Phil.
Hi.
I'm a little nervous. Mm-hmm. Never called a radio station. I just happened to be driving home and heard it, and I was...
Well, welcome. Welcome to the show. We're happy to have you.
Very touched, but yet very, very appalled. And then to continue to hear... And then to continue hearing Julie's, like you actually understand. And the last...
My name is Bobby.
Bobby.
Julie.
Whatever. And I feel, sorry. I feel sorry.
Well, what is your name, Sally?
My name's
Amy.
I'll
call you Sally then.
And
okay, so,
I appreciate what you have to say. Obviously, I'm glad we all live in America and have men who lose their arms and fight in America for us. And I appreciate what you said before, that you haven't seen enough, was your direct quote. And so when you haven't really seen enough, I also believe that you probably shouldn't be preaching it to children. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be in community shouting out that you have this belief and that you know what you're talking about. I find it appalling and sickening.
I've been around. I've seen a lot in this world. I've seen a lot of terrible things.
Let me ask you this then. You
have a lot of experience.
No, you obviously don't, because if you did, you actually wouldn't be saying out loud what you're saying now. If you've had a lot of experience and if you have been around, have you held the man you actually love in your arms dying on the side of the road with his eyeball bulging out? Have you been there?
Oh, well, are you trying to tell me that happened to you? Are you trying to tell me that happened to you?
No,
well,
Miss,
that was in Friday the 13th, part 3. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Hold on for a minute, Amy. Hold on. Amy, hold on for a minute. Bobby, don't disrespect this woman's life.
Bill, she's describing a scene in Friday the 13th 3D.
Well, oh, come on.
Again, I really appreciate your sidekick movies and your relations to these silly movies that really mean a lot to people. And number one, you're touching the lives of children, which really digs deep.
What is this about an eyeball bulging out? Because I don't know.
She's talking about something that happened to her. Have a little respect.
Well, I didn't know what she was saying.
And when you're sent, you know, when you've held somebody in your arms when they're dying, when you are begging to whatever mercy there is out there, whatever God anybody believes in, that you would do anything. If I would do anything to have to wipe him clean, to change his diaper.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever changed the diaper of your children? Have you ever had the compassion, the empathy, the love?
Of course. Are you telling me that I've never changed my children's diapers?
Yeah. You're complaining or moaning about.
Of course, I've changed my children's diapers.
You know, unfortunately, I haven't even heard the story yet. But to hear.
I'm saying that when a man loses his arm.
To talk about.
That lady.
Love
and
such
man that was on the side of the road is.
Disgusting way.
You're holding onto a man whose eyeball is gone.
My last
comment. If you knew him, it might be important.
She did know him.
She said she had a man by the side of the road with his eyeball coming out.
No.
Yes, it was her boyfriend.
No, he was my fiance, the absolute adoring love of my life. And
so you did know him.
Excuse me.
Yes, she knew him.
You are damn right that I would change him. I would love him. No arms, no legs. And I would have, I begged.
No head.
I begged God that night that you know what it is? You're all about receiving. It wasn't about me receiving. It was about me giving, because that is what love is about, is giving. I would have given anything.
What,
excuse me.
What God,
anything.
What God were you praying to that night? What God were you praying to that night? That's
very important. Does it matter? It's irrelevant.
Whatever God. What God? Are you
Does
Jewish?
It matter? does it matter to you which God I'm praying to that night?
I remembered in Mutiny on the Bounty when he said, whatever pig God you pray to.
Will you stop with Mutiny on the Bounty and Pride of the Marines, and then you got 3D, Friday the 13th 3D. This girl is on the side of the road with somebody she loves.
I understand that, Bill. I will tell you this.
With all due respect, ma'am, I will say this to you. With every ounce of my being, that I hope that nobody would ever on your dying moment or on your weak moment ever feel or think or believe the way that you are thinking or believing or feeling what you are.
I'm very honest, and I believe in honesty.
You know, honest and pathetic are two different things.
Exactly.
You know, have some respect for yourself and those around you. Because I won't mind changing your diaper, and then you do change the diaper. I have a 17-year-old, amazingly enough. I've changed many diapers in my lifetime, and I do it all over again.
Don't you think you should be out of diapers by now?
Oh, she's talking about when he was a baby.
No, she's changing a 17-year-old's diaper. You know what? When my grandma and my grandpa were on their deathbed, I changed their bed sheets. I massaged their feet.
Would you please grow up?
I feel sorry for you.
And I have empathy for you.
Would you stop that?
I don't think it's fair. You might be looking for your five minutes of fame on the AM radio, which is, you know, obviously your talk show.
No fame on AM radio, believe me. But I can tell you this. I served my family brownies this evening.
Maybe you got a little something else in your brownies, girlfriend, because you're sick, and I empathize, and I feel so sad for you. And I'll tell you, at the end of your days, you are going to get and reap what you sow, hands down. I have never called a radio show, my heart's pounding.
Well, I have never been more insulted. I was showing great empathy to you and what you went through.
Then you know what? I've done my duty because you deserve to be insulted.
I felt very sad for you, and then you brought up changing diapers when I was serving brownies.
You would be, Bobby. Absolutely the last person I would ever want to feel sorry for me because you have no sorrow. You don't have any sorrow.
If I needed my diapers changed, would you do it? No, you wouldn't. And that's what being Christian is. I don't know you.
You know what?
Do you have to know the person?
Do you want an answer to your question?
Do you know that Jesus changed the diapers of the Pharisees?
Would you let the lady talk, please?
Go ahead. You asked me if I would change your diapers. If I knew you and you needed your diapers changed and you voiced everything, all of your opinions, I would actually safely and educationally assume that you would not want me to change your diapers because you don't want to change anybody else's. Correct?
So you'd let me lay there in my own filth. Thank you very much.
Pardon?
She hung up.
Oh, Amy. I apologize.
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Listen, I am so sorry for your experience in life. Thank you for sharing that with us.
It was very, very sweet of you to do that.
And she hung up. She said, what was the last thing she said? Something along the lines of, so you'd let me lay there in my own filth, and then she hung up.
Well, absolutely. You know why? Because I think that would be what she would want.
Probably. Amy, thank you very much. Everything. Thanks for calling us tonight. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Her own filth.
I was serving brown open.
Phil Hendry.
Coming up later in the show, we have Lloyd Bonafide, who is a Korean War veteran. We're going to talk with him about his grandson and these World War II, these combat video games that are out right now. 877-876-PHIL. They're not just out. I mean, they've been out for many years. But many of them, I think, are kind of cool. One, I think it's called Call to Duty, which features the Battle of Stalingrad, and you are literally on the ground. You're a Russian soldier, or I guess if you want to be, you can be a German soldier. And
what is this called, Phil?
It's called Call to Duty.
And that is what?
That's
Steve's joking around.
Yeah, that's fine. Call of Duty is what it is, actually. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Kim in Raleigh, North Carolina, listening to us on WZTK. Go ahead, Kim. Welcome
Hi.
To the show.
Thank
yes,
you.
Ma'am.
I've been listening, mm-hmm. and like I believe your other caller was Amy. I think appalled
yes.
is a pretty good word. She mentioned something
You've
about...
You've really got to be able to think outside the box. You have to be able to think outside the box.
I think there's a matter of
know.
Being able to think and think intelligently and, okay, get beyond the fact, okay, you say, oh, okay, a nub is gross. All right, fine. Okay, a nub is gross, so what?
Do you think it is?
Well, I don't know. I mean, some nubs are gross, some nubs aren't gross. I mean...
All right,
some,
well, then you
some...
agree with me. Then,
well,
then
no,
you agree
no.
with me.
Wait,
so
wait
why
a minute.
Why would you think I'm an idiot?
Well, before you tap me co-opting mm-hmm. your entire ideology, let me explain this.
Ideology?
Well... It seems to me you're missing the point. You said something about, you know,
pretty
oh, there's an amp. Okay, would you let me
you're
talk?
Pretty fancy. You're a pretty fancy talker, aren't you?
You let her talk.
You said something about the
you're
amputee.
You're very clever.
You know what? I am very clever, and I'm usually most clever when I can actually make my ideas into words, which you're preventing me from doing. However, you mentioned the amputee clause.
Can I ask you something, and then I'll let you talk? Can I ask you one thing, and I'll let you talk?
No, you can't
Don't
ask
you
me one thing.
Don't you think it was rude?
No,
you
can't
ask. Don't you think it was rude
ask...
of her?
Good grief. All right, you said something about...
I thought
about,
it was rude of her to bring up diapers when I was serving brownies, that's all.
We're not
going to
talk about diapers.
All right, we've
anymore,
already
okay?
talked about that, yeah. Kim, go ahead.
Diapers are over with, okay? They're done. Diapers
oh,
are
I say
done.
Because you say. Because Kim
yeah,
says
because
so.
I say, okay? Because I
yeah.
say diapers
Heil Hitler.
Are done.
Heil Hitler. Okay. Heil Hitler.
You
Heil
get
Hitler.
That?
Heil Hitler.
Yeah, Heil right. Hitler. Okay,
Heil
Hitler.
Oh, Hitler grow up.
Said, okay, so anyway, we're talking about an amputee vow in marriage vow. And the thing is that one of the truths, if you want to have a truth there, is that nothing is guaranteed you in life, okay? So when you get married mm-hmm. to somebody, you don't have a guarantee that that person is, number one, going to be 100% faithful to you, is going to keep
mm-hmm.
all of their limbs, is going
mm-hmm.
to not become schizophrenic, possibly, is not going to get a fatal disease and die when he's
what?
35 years old. There are no guarantees.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, what I see is that if the only
mm-hmm.
truth that you can say to your child when your child says is that is she going to stay with him, the only
mm-hmm.
truth that you can speak is to say, I don't think so, because that's the only truth that you
what?
Know, because you don't know. You have no idea, because the thing is that, it, you know, to her, the more important priority may be his personality, their relationship, the vow that she made, because love is not about, you know, rainbows and Care Bears. Love is hard stuff. It's a decision that you make. When you're in a marriage, it's a decision that you make every day to stay with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And love,
well,
you have the right to speak your boundaries, and if you wanted to go back to the diapers and say, well, I think that's gross, I don't want to change somebody's diapers, well, you don't have to, love doesn't mean you have to change somebody's diapers, okay? But you're talking about abandoning somebody, which seems to me very incongruous to love. Love is completely
well,
incongruous to abandonment.
We were
and abandonment
recording what you just
for
said.
Lucas. Where does
we
it
were
end
recording. We literally were recording what you just said. Let me play it back.
That's very funny. Turn that off.
But where does it end?
Does it
what? End at an arm? What if a man loses, you know, one of... I mean,
what?
Where
I
does
I'm
it
sorry.
End? What about a finger?
Hey.
I mean, if somebody loses...
Will you knock
finger,
it off with the Hitler sound effects, please?
A finger?
Well, what if,
I don't
what?
Care if Steve loses a finger.
Okay, well, why?
The only thing...
why? Okay, why is a finger more important? Why is a finger less important than an arm? What about a hand?
Well, a hand is very important.
Okay, why
and
is a
man,
hand very
I'm sure
important?
You'd agree. Well, for obvious reasons. Obvious reasons.
Why is a hand very important?
For obvious reasons.
For obvious reasons.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, the big news, it's the big news for a lot of people, and I guess it's the big news, is that General Stanley McChrystal, made some comments to a Rolling Stone reporter in Paris, France, where they were to attend a conference with one or two or more of the French cabinet ministers, General McChrystal, that is, and was holding forth, I think, with some members of his staff and a Rolling Stone writer by the name of Hastings, I think is this guy's name. And, of course, we're kicking around here, and if you've heard the story, but I know you don't understand this, but when a general makes statements critical of his commander-in-chief or ridicules publicly the commander-in-chief, this is insubordinate.
Well, what do you mean insubordinate? All he said was, well, I don't know what he said, but he wasn't all that bad. He said, bite me. Yeah, what about bite me?
That was about Biden, and Biden is his superior. Biden is the vice president of the United States, and the commander-in-chief is the president. Now, that's just the way it is. That's the way it's always been, and you don't say things publicly. You know, MacArthur. See, this is what I was trying to explain to you guys. You don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't understand what you mean about MacArthur. Who's he?
He was a general. Do you understand a general?
Yeah.
Okay, and he opened his big fat mouth, and he said some stuff he wasn't supposed to say.
What did he say?
He said that they ought to attack the Chinese across the Yalu River in North Korea. We should go after the Chinese. And Truman said, no, we will not. We're not going to expand this North Korean conflict into a larger war. And MacArthur had a bunch of sour grapes about that. And that's when, Truman called him back to Washington and fired him.
Yeah, but you said that they had a meeting or something.
That's what I don't understand.
They did have a meeting. MacArthur and Truman had a meeting, and everything seemed to be cool. Truman didn't want to come on too strong. He had, was not too long in the job. This was the thing, man. I think he had just won the election, in fact. But he knew he was dealing with Douglas MacArthur. Douglas MacArthur was a great general. He had led America along with other generals in World War II, and he was the man. He was also eventually did try to run for president. Now, American history is replete with these kinds of situations.
Well, you talk about Lincoln and everything. You always bring him up.
Because Lincoln's got one of the reasons I always bring up Lincoln, there's something in Lincoln's. No matter what we seem to face in this country, we can always go back to Lincoln's presidency and see something similar. It doesn't matter. War, peace, cabinet nominations, president versus the legislature, a president versus the judiciary, a president that was hated and then loved, a president that was despised and then, was eventually canonized. And we got it all going on there with Lincoln. And the guy that I was talking about was General McClellan, who was so disrespectful of Lincoln that when Lincoln came to visit him, McClellan let the president of the United States sit in his parlor, in his sitting area, and he never did come out to talk to the president. And the president, because he was Lincoln, he didn't get upset, he didn't flip his lid, he didn't fire the guy. He went back to the White House, and he said to Stanton, of course, Stanton was the Secretary of War, he wanted to fire McClellan. He said, how dare that son of a bitch let the president of the United States sit there? He said, no. Or however Lincoln said, it's okay. Lincoln gave McClellan all the rope he needed to hang himself with, and that's eventually what happened. McClellan proved himself to be ineffective in the field during the Civil War. He proved himself to be slow. He proved himself to be a man who could not you know, strike when he needed to strike. He was always bitching about supplies. He was always bitching about not enough men. He was always bitching about something. And he was always disobeying the president outright.
Well, how come he didn't fire him right away on account of the Civil War? He'd be lost and everything.
Yeah, he should have fired him right away.
That was the thing about Lincoln. He was a guy that gave people second and third chances. That's what people don't understand about him. He was a very patient man. He gave people, and the other thing about him is he would give a job to a guy, Stanton, who became his dearest friend, embarrassed Lincoln when they first met, made him look like a fool when they first met. But he was a very forgiving man. He always looked past that stuff, and he looked at the strengths of people. And McClellan, he tried desperately to get McClellan to man up, and he didn't, and he finally fired him. And he ran through about two or three generals, three or four maybe, before he found Grant. And Grant was the man. Grant was the main man there. Anyway, President Obama, he ain't got General Grant. I don't know who he's got, but he does have General McChrystal. He did say today that McChrystal is guilty of poor judgment, but said he won't make a decision on the commander's fate until he talks with him first. Now, McChrystal, the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan, was summoned to Washington today for a face-to-face meeting with the president tomorrow, a meeting where he'll have to explain why he and his aides made disparaging remarks about Vice President Joe Biden, about Special Envoy Richard Holbrooke, about Ambassador Carl Eikenberry, and others in the presence of a reporter for Rolling Stone. Asked earlier in the day whether McChrystal's job is on the line, White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs said that everything is on the table. I do believe that we have some. Michael Hastings is the name of this Rolling Stone reporter, this pain in the ass. I mean, this very nice guy. Nah, I shouldn't say that, but the other thing we were saying is there's nothing off the record, you know?
Yeah, what do you mean off the record?
On the record means the reporter will say, well, we're on the record, meaning I am writing this down, I'm quoting you. And if you don't want him to quote you, say this is off the record. Well, I don't know that such niceties exist anymore. I think that the competition for a news story is so intense, there just is no such thing as on the record, off the record, nothing. I don't know, maybe McChrystal thought that we're such a thing as that. Maybe McChrystal thought he was off the record. And this guy Hastings, anyway, today President Obama spoke to reporters concerning the situation with General Stanley McChrystal.
You know, General McChrystal is on his way here, and I am going to meet with him. Secretary Gates will be meeting with him as well. I think it's clear that the article in which he and his team appeared showed poor judgment, but I also want to make sure that I talk to him directly before I make any final decision.
All right. Rolling Stone executive editor Eric Bates talks to CNN about the article due out on Friday. The article quotes General McChrystal's staffers, comments the general was well aware of.
This was a story that was done over the course of several months. We had unprecedented access, really, to the general and his top staff. You have to, in reading the article, you realize that the general was in the room while a lot of these comments were being made. These weren't off-the-cuff remarks by his staff that he didn't know about. In one case, when they were talking about Joe Biden, the general himself said they were imagining responding at a press conference to questions about the vice president. And he said, Vice President Biden, who's that? And one of his aides said, did you say Joe Biden? Did you say bite me?
Here is retired Colonel Jack Jacobs talking to MSNBC about the consequences the general should face.
General McChrystal can't stay in his position. He's probably going to tender his resignation, and it's probably going to be accepted or demanded in the first place. He might stay. There are certain circumstances in which he might stay. Likely is not he is going to be gone, and he's probably going to wind up retiring. And in the end, this is what the rank and file of the military establishment is going to say privately. They're going to say, absolutely right. You can't do this. You can't countenance your subordinates to speak to the press and say that the rest of the chain of command above you are a bunch of knuckleheads. But they're going to say, you know what? He was right.
Well, they're going to say they're going to say McChrystal shouldn't open his big fat mouth. They're going to say that McChrystal was stupid. They're going to say that McChrystal screwed up, but they're not going to be going, hey. They're going to say, what a dumbass. We just lost a damn good commander because he was a dummy. That's what they're going to say. Here is Representative Mike Rogers. He's a Republican from Michigan, a member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, talking to MSNBC that the general must go.
If I were the president, I would consider getting rid of General Crystal, not because of his actions, his work as a military commander. I don't think you'll find any better. I do think that this lapse of judgment that made it to the public causes some real problems for him. And you can't have military commanders out there working against the policies of presidents, even if they're wrong. That's my job, and it's job of others to comment on the policy of how they're doing this, and for us to bring to light that there are serious problems with the way they're going about the fight in Afghanistan, and it's causing serious problems.
Well, he's right, and it is a civilian-run military, and it always will be, and people can talk all they want about how come the president doesn't have any military experience. And then, of course, when you bring up people like Franklin Roosevelt or Old Abe, who had about 1 month, 2 months in uniform in the Indian Black Hawk War, and the only thing that happened to him was he got mosquito bites. He had no combat experience. It's got nothing to do with it. Some of the best presidents we ever had, and Roosevelt is one, never put on a uniform. When I'm talking about a wartime president now, you talk about all the depression and socialism and all that other crap. Talk about a wartime president. Roosevelt never put on a uniform. Anyway, so McChrystal's ass is at least in the thoughts and in the hearts of a lot of people, his ass is gone, man. He did apologize for the article on Tuesday. McChrystal and his top aides appeared to let their guard down during a series of interviews. The article is entitled The Runaway General. It appears in the magazine later this week. It contains a number of jabs by McChrystal and his staff aimed not only at the president, but also at the vice president. All right, why?
What do you mean, why? They think he's dumb.
No, but what do you mean you think he's dumb?
Yeah, they think Obama's dumb and Biden bite me.
Yeah, but why would he publish that in a magazine like Rolling Stone?
Because they was interviewing him and everything.
But, Bud, don't you understand he's a general in the United States Army? He knows that he's going to get into trouble.
Oh, man. Why do you say that? It's been a long time since MacArthur.
What do you mean it's been a long time since MacArthur? It doesn't make any difference. Every general knows that he's got a guy above him and a guy above him. The President of the United States, that's the last guy in the chain of command. He's the commander-in-chief. Okay? Why did he do this? Why did he do this?
Because he thought that Obama didn't read Rolling Stone, maybe. I don't know.
Because Obama didn't read Rolling Stone.
Yeah, well, why else then?
I don't know. I'm asking you guys. Are you an idiot or something? You know, Obama doesn't read Rolling Stone.
Well, maybe he... Are you sure he does?
Doesn't matter, man. Somebody's going to read it to him. Someone's going to come to him and say, hey, Mr. President, look what they just said about you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So why would he do that? Why would McChrystal do something so blatantly stupid? Was he drunk? Well, they say that this happened over a period of months. Now, they mentioned this dinner they had in Paris. I don't know if this was all one dinner, and the rest of the stuff that was the background and all the other stuff they did in the article was over the period of several months, but didn't have anything really explosive in it. In other words, these comments, these insults, these intemperate remarks, were these as the result of just this dinner in Paris or something else? Were they made over a period of time? I don't know. Was the guy hammered at a dinner and they were feeling no pain? He's got a magazine writer sitting there.
Yeah, he probably thought the guy is cool because he writes for Rolling Stone and he won't be telling anybody.
Oh yeah, sure, that's right. Yeah, Rolling Stone. Those are the guys to really relax around. Rolling Stone. Let me tell you what I think. I think that this guy McChrystal had reached a point of he didn't care.
Did just trying to get fired?
I don't know that he was trying to get fired. I just don't think he cared. I think he just let it all hang out. It could possibly be that he thought Obama was such a political novice that Obama wouldn't quite know what to do, that Obama might not act, that Obama might not. You know, I can't imagine anybody thinking that. But, you know, I've seen, since this guy got elected president, I've seen and I've heard things I never really thought I would. I've seen and heard stupid things. People making comments, and it happened. I mean, we predicted it. I said, this guy's going to piss some people off in his own party. Sure enough, he did. I said, he's going to confuse a lot of Republicans and conservatives. Sure enough, he did. He has baffled quite a few people. Of course, they go back and on this time-honored and, you know, tried-and-true criticism, which is...
Oh, he waffles.
Well, waffles from what? Anyway, so McChrystal's on his way back. By this time tomorrow, he'll probably have had his ass fired. I don't know. We'll find out. 877-876-PHIL. 64-year-old actress Helen Mirren bares her breasts.
Oh, you kidding me, man? You gotta be kidding me. Who?
Helen Mirren.
How old...
Well, don't cry, bud.
For how old is she?
64.
Shut up.
This guy's getting scared. Also, Dr. Oz says not having enough sex can kill you. So Dr. Oz, anyway, Lloyd Bonafide also joins us next hour, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry. To the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. In Marysville, Washington, the Marysville School Board voted to censure and demanded the immediate resignation of board member Michael Kundu, K-U-N-D-U. 20 seconds of applause followed the 4-0 vote on Monday night. The board called Kundu's comments tying racial genetics to intellectual achievement inexcusable, utterly baseless, and highly offensive. Kundu was not at the meeting. He is a white man, even though he's got like a Chinese last name. Mr. Kundu, maybe you have some Chinese in the background, some Asian. He's faced criticism since sending an email to board members early this month where he cited controversial research from a Canadian professor claiming ethnicity is a factor for brain size and intelligence in Latinos and African Americans. In a June 3rd email Kundu sent to another board member and a Marysville school district director, Kundu referred to the work of a John Philip Rushton, a professor at the University of Western Ontario in Canada. Kundu cited the work as proof that some ethnic groups have disadvantages and advantages as compared to others, including brain size and intelligence. Now, we don't know what this study says. We only know what Mr. Kundu believes. The email says, in part, I think what is safe to draw from this is that there is a definitive factor played by racial genetics and intellectual achievement, but we as a society are striving to offset that foundation by increasing educational and social opportunities to offset the racial achievements gap. Maybe Mr. Kundu thought he was saying something benign or beneficial. And he said, well, let's try to offset that genetic gap by educating kids better. See, we're living at a time where we're finding more and more genetics has nothing to do with the relative development of races and different cultures in different parts of the world. We're finding out now that geography has a lot to do with it. Geography, as a matter of fact, has maybe more than half to do with why it is some cultures, quote, seem more advanced or are more advanced than others. Remember that cultures only develop insofar as they need to. Indians didn't need horses. They didn't need gunpowder, so they didn't have horses. They didn't have gunpowder. Now, what happens? Something that happens in life, the unexpected. If there's one thing we know about life, the unexpected happens. The guy sitting there, well, I don't need horses. I don't need gunpowder. What the hell is that? Some guy with a horse and gunpowder, that's who it is. Well, what the hell is he going to do with him? Well, he's going to shoot you, and he's going to run at you with that horse. So we better get some horses and guns, right? Yep, that's what I think we ought to do. Aha! Then the horses and the guns got into the hands of the Indians, and guess what? They proved to be just as efficient with horses and guns, if not more so, than the white man that they learned it from. To the extent that they defeated the white man in battle many times. Well, that wasn't all that the Indian needed, of course. The Indian needed a bureaucracy. The Indian needed a manufacturing base. The Indian needed a lot of the things that the Europeans had. Europeans had those things because they needed them. This is why cultures and societies and so forth develop the way they do. And so when you watch the movie Dances with Wolves and you think it's just so marvelous how Kevin Costner's character becomes so Indianed up, remember the scene where he shows them the rifles and he says, look, one of these in your hand and you become two warriors. And we think, oh, isn't that wonderful? He's joining the Indians and he's going to help them preserve their society. No, he didn't. He didn't help them preserve their society at all. He, at that moment, warped and changed and mutated their society. He gave them firearms. So the white man, Kevin Costner, in all of his benevolence and all of his wanting to join the Indian, he himself influenced the future of that culture and probably helped to exterminate them by introducing those weapons, because all that did was invite the white man to go to war sooner and more aggressively. There was no way the Native American was going to survive. Why is that? Because that's what happens in history for thousands of years to inferior societies. They become consumed and subsumed. They are gobbled up by a larger, stronger society. There was no way Native Americans were going to survive. No way. Someday, I don't know when the Martians land, we won't. But until then, we kick ass.
Yeah, we're King Rat, man.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back on a world-famous Phil Henry show with Lloyd Bonafide. 877-876-PHIL. What about this Kundu guy, man?
Phil Henry.
I am Kundu.